des Tempels, wenn ihr bitte nach hinten geht, dort, wo die Fußleiste des Tempels ist. They have all the... Gut. Gut, während die... Da sind noch einige. Ich möchte vielleicht euch noch bitten, ein bisschen weiter nach vorne zu kommen, ruhig, da sich erfahrungsgemäß der Tempelraum auffüllt während der Vorlesung. Darf ich auch mal sehen, haben wir alle Fenster? Ist das Fenster auf, Rushia Ashani? Gut, sehr gut. Sehr gut. Good, so we will start now our speaking part during this wonderful evening or afternoon. As you have heard in the beginning, we have a surprise guest from the sacred town of Lord Sri Krishna's appearance. We have our long-term well-wisher and advisor sometimes and dear friend, Padmanabha Goswami. Padmanabha Goswami is from the Radharaman Goswamis. These are Goswamis who take care of the most ancient deity in Vrindavan, a self-manifested form of Lord Krishna, Radharaman. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I recently found out, has blessed these Goswami families 500 years ago, saying that they would preach Chaitanya Bhakti all over the world. And I did not really know this until 1 year or 2 years ago, but I had always admired the preaching enthusiasm of Padmanabha Goswami and also Vishvambhar Goswami, his father. We invited him for a preaching tour, Vishvambhar Goswami, through Germany, and we also came into Switzerland, and where he preached in the German universities very nicely. After, when I was together with him, I once asked Vishvambhar Goswami, what will you do when this tour is finished for you and you go to Vrindavan? What will be your first activity? And Vishvambhar Goswami, the father of Padmanabha, said very smilingly, he said, the first thing I do is I drive to Radhakund and take a bath, so that all this Western atmosphere is just gone. So you can see for these Vaishnavas, it is a special austerity to come to Switzerland. It is not that they want to go there for any other reason than spreading Krishna consciousness. And we want to now request Padmanabha Goswami, our surprise guest, to address all of us quickly. I would request before that we have maybe someone, Prabhuji, maybe you can do something to close the door or to take care that the children are in an area of the temple where we don't hear so much noise. There's a little Bahnhof station atmosphere at the moment, the train station almost. It comes from this direction. Just tell them very nicely and very encouragingly. Maybe they want to play on the lawn, which is so green. Yes, and so on. Good. So we will now give over the microphone to Padmanabha Goswami, but let us greet him by wholeheartedly calling out, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Haribo! Haribo!
Thank you, Maharaj. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Harai Paramatmane Punat Kleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namah. Akhanda Mandalakaram Vyaptyena Characharam Tatpadam Darsitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Vancha Kalpatarbhasya Kripa Sindusyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By His Holiness Shripad Maharaj and Sri Sachinandan Maharaj and all the devotees, I can say this thing that last more than 20 years or maybe 25 years I am getting the blessings both of these Maharaj from my father's time. And from my childhood I am seeing Shripad Maharaj and Sachinandan Maharaj. At that time he was not Maharaj, he was Sachinandan. Brahmachari. So actually, just last 4 weeks, I am traveling in Europe. 3 weeks I was in Germany and 1 week I was in France. And just Friday evening I arrived here. And this is my last, just after a few days, I will be back to Krishna's place. Not Krishna's, I should tell the Radharani's place. So I just want to tell you something in very briefly. That I just joined this Maharaj nice kirtan. And actually this was the great mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Bengali song this is mentioned. The Gauranga na hoitum keimon dhoitum dehe Radhar mahima premarasa sima jagate janato ke. That if Mahaprabhu has not took the incarnation, that how we came to know the mainly the three importance. First is that what is the importance of Srimati Radharani. Second, that what is the love of devotion. And third, that was also the great mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he was discovered all the pastimes of Radhas and Krishna in the Braj Mandal. If Mahaprabhu has not took this incarnation, how the pupil of the Kali Yuga, they came to know about these things. Srimati Radharani, love of devotion and about the Braj. And definitely, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had preached all over the India at that time, 500 years before, with this Harinam, to giving his mercy to all the living entities, without the caste and creed. He has given this mercy. Here, when I was also see this line, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Daya Karo Mor. So definitely, this is the Mahaprabhu's greatest grace for us in this Kali Yuga. And here, this is written this Harinam Mahamantra, the nectar of the age of Kali. This is the really the nectar. When we have chanted this Harinam has go to in our heart. And we have got this nectar actually. This is the actually very rare thing. By the grace of Mahaprabhu we have got. And after that, that is also the most important thing, that the Western people, they did not about these things. They were not very familiar for these things. Then, definitely by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by the grace of his Guru, Srila Prabhupada, he has visited in the West in 1965. That time in the West, the Western devotees, the Western people, I can say, they don't know about these things, about the Harinam, about the Braj, about the Radha and Krishna, about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada has done this miracle change in the Western world. And by his grace, the Western people, they came to know about the importance of Srimati Radharani, about Brajmandal, about the love of devotion, about the Harinam. When the Prabhupada came, at that time there was no devotee in that New York. Prabhupada does not know to anybody. Just he chant and give his classes, and that is Srila Prabhupada's love and affection. He has converted the lot of Western people to become a devotee of Krishna. To devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My father was the very close friend of Srila Prabhupada. I have also many times visited as a small child to Srila Prabhupada. Right now, this is our duty and the responsibility that we have to save this Prabhupada mission. Because the coming centuries, nobody will come like Srila Prabhupada. And definitely, Srila Prabhupada's nice followers and great disciples, all these Maharaj and Sannyasis, they are taking very nicely care of his movement. But still, as a devotee, this is our great responsibility to protect this mission, to give our full support for this movement. If we will lose these things, we will lose our whole life. And we cannot say that our next life will be a human life or not. Nobody can say these things. And this is the opportunity we have find out as a human body, that we can get this grace from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and from Srila Prabhupada. I don't want to take more time. I came from the Vrindavan, the place of Srimati Radharani. By birth, I get this opportunity to get the mercy of Radharamanji to do his worship. And I invite all of you to come to Vrindavan, charge your batteries in this holy dham, which batteries has discharged in the Western countries. So charge your batteries in this holy dham in the month of Kartik. This is the charging month. So charging your devotional battery. And my temple, Sri Radharaman, and my house, the gates of my house, gate of my house are always open to most welcome to all the devotees from anywhere. And I am trying to carry on this responsibility from the my father and grandfather and great-grandfather's time. And I am really today very grateful and thankful for Shripad Maharaj and Sri Sachinandan Swami that he has given this opportunity to talk a few words with you. Thank you, Hari Bol.
जय वृंदावन धाम की
जय
हरि बोल आई विल नॉट टॉक लॉन्ग टुडे बट जस्ट मेनली यूज द टाइम टू इंट्रोड्यूस द कंट्रीब्यूशन ऑफ भक्ति स्वरूप दामोदर महाराज इट वॉज अ फ्यू Maybe 2 years ago, no, yes, actually 1 year ago in December, I was in Bombay and visited with a good friend of mine, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, the Juhu Temple. And there we came to know that His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj would have his birthday the next day. So Radhanath Maharaj couldn't attend because he was flying out the next day to America, but we decided to pay a visit, a surprise visit to the room of His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, and then he kindly invited us, please come to my birthday. So I had already another program for the next day, but I immediately changed all my programs and attended the birthday ceremony. And I remember, you know, it was like always the Prabhupada disciples, we are the older people in our society, very requested to say something. So I was saying something and it went on. I thought, oh, there's so much saying. Everyone has to say another half an hour. Good, I will stay there. But then I noticed, and I wanted to leave after the speeches, then I noticed that the devotees came with red turbans, and they put red turbans on us, and they gave me also a red turban. I thought, this is interesting. This is something else than speaking. Before I knew, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj was in the center of the temple. He made a big space. Then three very exotically looking drummers came. And then he sang very, very wonderfully the song Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. But a little bit longer. It even took, I would say, the notes were more long drawn out. Then all of a sudden, you know, he was singing and singing for the deities, and our hearts were very much moved, so much bhakti was in the temple. Then all of a sudden it stopped, and then the three drummers started to drum. Very exciting. And they started to dance, and then all of a sudden the whole temple room exploded. Yes, it exploded. We all jumped up 2 meters 50 high and chanted and danced and threw flowers and were in total ecstasy. My curiosity was awakened. Then we sat down and Maharaj kindly sat next to me and explained the menu. It was very exotic vegetables I had never seen and different preparations. And I like very much eating, so I ate very sufficiently. Then Maharaj said, please come next Gopunim to Manipur. And immediately I decided to go. I had made another program, but I changed everything. And after Gopunim, Maharaj had arranged through his assistant a very nice flight, and we were greeted in Manipur. by the chief men of the Manipur airport, and he said, "No problem, just go through. You are guests of Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj." It's sometimes good to have good context in this world. And then I was lucky to spend four wonderful days in his association. What I learned is something which I feel is important for us Western devotees here in Switzerland. I learned to appreciate a culture, a very, very distinct culture, very particular culture. We hear that the Manipur culture dates back to the time of Arjuna's son Babruvahan, and is very, very long and ancient and has not changed its territory. It's really intact. Maybe it's one of the oldest cultures still living the way it used to live. A very particular culture which had imbibed Chaitanya Vaishnavism. It had remained the Manipur culture, but it had added to it Krishna consciousness. I really feel that Manipur shows by an example how to apply Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada always used to say, you don't have to change external material things. You just add Krishna consciousness, put it in your life, integrate it into your life, and this will be healthier and good and normal. In other words, those who are of Swiss origins, they don't have to convert to become Hindus and Indians and paint their faces brown in order to practice Krishna consciousness. You can add Krishna consciousness, you can offer your foodstuffs, your roshtis, yes, roshti is like, you know roshtis? It's like, it's a particular potato preparation. And offer that to Krishna. It's very Swiss-like. You can use your intellect and your questioning and your probing and add Krishna consciousness to it. And I was very touched by this example of Manipur, and have made a slideshow from it, from my visit, which I intend to show this evening, to give you a good example how to progress in your life by integrating Krishna consciousness in what you are presently doing. And in this way, I feel the movement of Krishna consciousness can spread unlimitedly without limitations. Good. So now we will turn the microphone over to our respected guest, His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, who will enlighten us. He is also a scientist, by the way. He meets Nobel laureates. He moves in and out the Vatican and has shaken hands with the Pope. He's very much active in interreligious dialogue, but also in scientific conferences. You can find him everywhere. Some say he is the second Dalai Lama. He's the Dalai Lama of ISKCON, who travels around spreading very peace and goodwill and Krishna consciousness. So let us now listen very attentively and extremely alertly to the words which Maharaj will speak to us. Hare Krishna.
First of all, I'd like to express my great appreciation to the cultural aspect here in Switzerland, and I find that people are very quite often, and the culture has very rich culture. And all the day when we are doing this Nagar Sankirtan in Bahnhofstrasse, we had I had a glimpse of the, because it was the first time here to have a Nagar Kirtan like that. And when I saw the people, the tourists, and also the people in the shops and on top of the buildings, most of them were smiling. So I thought it's a good sign that. So I very much appreciate this welcoming this spirit that is here in this country. And so God Europe has this culture, and it's a good ground for also for the man was talking about integration of Krishna conscious culture. Nothing has to be changed, but you have to just integrate. That's why we're speaking this morning about how to integrate the environmental, the culture in that particular environment, so that it becomes part of day-to-day life, so that feel at home, don't feel strange. So I think this part I very much appreciate. Hello, so I'd like to appreciate, thank you for your wonderful enthusiasm in the kirtan. So can go on further, but I think it is a wonderful sign. So regarding Manipur, so I'm very fortunate to have met Maharaj. Although we are in the movement, but we have not known each other for in the earlier part, because my area of this circle is very small. I come from a very small place, and my circle is always very small. So, but this part I have not come very much, very often in many past years. But knowing him, and so I've developed some common aspects how to serve Prabhupada is his mission. That is, I feel that this is a great fortune. Regarding Manipur is the easternmost part of India. Bharatvarsha. Sometimes we write that the first sunshine in India in Bharatvarsha comes to Manipur, on the hills of Manipur. So when Pandit Nehru, our first Prime Minister of India, Jawaharlal Nehru, visited Manipur in his time, because he mostly studied in Europe, and he when he landed Manipur, he said, "This is the Switzerland of India." So that part. And so it has the mountains, and there's a valley, it is a little high altitude, there's a cool, it's like Europe. In fact, there's a big lake, Kalaktak Lake, filled with many lotus flowers. And so in the middle, there's a valley, and there's a mountain surrounding, and high altitude. In the summertime also, it's not so hot like the rest of India. So that's the, because this is surrounded by 9 rows of mountains. These mountains are the tail ends of the Himalaya mountains. So it's kind of protected. It is a difficult for, we have to cross these 9 mountains. So there's no railway line, because the railway line cannot be built so far because of the mountains. So the only way is by bus or through these mountains or by aeroplane. There's a flight from Delhi, there's a flight from Calcutta. So this is how we reach Imphal. And the one historic aspect is that the Second World War ended in Manipur. That is regarding the war, so the Japanese army and the British army. When the Japanese army came, so they were they're completely defeated by the British army. And this happened in Manipur. So historically, there's in the map of the world, there's a little connection with the Second World War. So besides that, I just read one short passage from Prabhupada's writing. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a 9th canto. And chapter is, 9th canto, chapter 22, the descendants of Adamidha. So there Prabhupada writes in the sloka, in the purport of sloka number 32, there Prabhupada writes that it is to be understood that Parvati is daughter of the king of the very, very old mountainous country known as Manipur state. 5,000 years ago, therefore, when the Pandavas ruled, Manipur existed, as did its king. Therefore, this kingdom is a very old aristocratic Vaishnava kingdom. If this kingdom is organized as a Vaishnava state, this revitalization will be a great success, because for 5,000 years, this state has maintained its identity. So if the Vaishnava spirit is revived there, it will be a wonderful place, renowned throughout the entire world. So, like that, Prabhupada writes very lovingly about Manipur. And Prabhupada left also many instructions personally to me to at least promote and revive this Vaishnava culture in Manipur. Because of the age of Kali, now the spirit, the Vaishnava spirit is also becoming slowly affected by the progress of the Kali Yuga. So Prabhupada said, make Manipur a nice temple and make it scientific Vaishnava culture. Prabhupada used this word scientific. Scientific Vaishnava culture, make it strong and make your office in Bombay. And Prabhupada recruit scientists from all over and send it as missionary all over the planet. So this was, Prabhupada left actually many instructions regarding how to make this Manipur as a Vaishnava state. So following Prabhupada's instructions, so we have we're trying to establish what we call is called a university, the University of Bhagavad culture. And according to the instructions, Prabhupada, the purpose of building or having an ashram or a temple is actually to impart education to the people who come to the temple. And so this is specifically designed as some kind of educational center where people can come and get the knowledge. So therefore this is called the University of Bhagavad culture. And the temple, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Chandra Manimandir, called Manimandir, because historically in the Puranic history, and Manipur has its own history, why it is called Manipur. Manipur literally means the land of jewels. So it said when Lord Shiva, he was looking for an arena for a dance with Parvati. So when he came, when he saw Manipur, came to the valley of Manipur, Manipur was, as a filled with water. So it is a threshold that he, because it is in a high altitude, so he, by his threshold, he drained that water and became a beautiful valley. And so inside this valley, he did dance. And he said the dance was lit by the jewels from Ananda Sesha. So therefore, this land has been known as Manipur, means the land of jewels. This was one of the Puranic historical notes about how Manipur was named like that. So in that, we are planning to have University of Bhagavad culture, and the temple is the centerpiece. The central part of that university is called Manimandir, the jewel temple. So this is designed you see, Manipur has some influence of Oriental culture, like in Tibet, Burma, and Thailand. So we have considered the pagodas, and it is dragons. We also have a certain connection. And so it is a mixture of traditional Vedic temple and Oriental, and it is a pagoda. So our domes are a little bit like a pagoda type. And then plus some little bit also from the cathedrals. So it is a international mixture of different cultural parts. So that is, it's not finished yet. The deities are installed, but the real opening, the grand opening, is scheduled in 2007. So this now is 2003. So 2007. So it is planned to have a ceremony in a big scale. That is planned. But as a university, there will be some departments. Some departments are already there, but there will be some departments to be added. So this is the part of this Manipur program. But now there is a very interesting story about how Manipuris became adopted with the this Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition culture. From the early part of the 17th century, actually 18th century, around 1733, so there was a king. So Manipur has been a kingly state, just like Nepal. It was not, it was in the greater India, it was like an independent country, like a small Manipur, just like Nepal. So at that time, the king, his name was King Bhagachandra. So King Bhagachandra Maharaj, so he, when he ruled his Manipur during the early 18th century, around 1733, so because of the conflict in the royal family, because this king, his maternal uncle was very cunning. So by a plot between maternal uncle and the king of Burma, because Burma and Manipur always have this war at the time, this Myanmar. So by the plot between the maternal uncle of the king of this Vagisudana Maharaj and the king of Burma, so they pushed this King Bhagachandra, and therefore he had to run out of Manipur and take shelter in Assam. Assam was called at the time Ahom, A-H-O-M, let's say the earlier name of Assam, now it's Ahom, A-H-O-M. So the king of Ahom, he took shelter, this Bhagachandra Maharaj, for a little short while. But then what happened was that this maternal uncle was still so cunning that he sent a message to this king of Ahom, saying that the person who is taking shelter under you, he is not the real king of Manipur, he is an imposter. So he told me, you please kill him, please destroy him, so that he doesn't exist. But then there was, you know, some understanding that the king of Ahom was a generous king. He was kind of a noble, he has some nobility. And so he, although he got the message, but he did not like to do that just immediately. But he wanted to, he heard that the king of Manipur has some, you know, some kind of power, some kind of a spiritual power. He heard this. And so he wanted to test whether this is the real king or not. And so the test was that this king, so he should be, he should encounter a wild elephant. So in Assam is, you know, in India, Assam is, you know, the forest of Assam is a lot of wild, even now, it's a forest, is wild elephants are there. So this wild elephant will be, he'll encounter in an arena. This arena will be, it will be watched by, you know, by different ministers of the king and important people. So the idea was that if this king is the real king of Manipur, because he has some spiritual power, some kind of power, you know, the power, so he will be, if he's a real king, then he will be able to subdue this wild elephant. But if he's not, then he will be definitely killed by the elephant. So this was the idea. So with that intention, so there's a time was set, and a day was set, and then Bhagachandra Maharaj, King Bhagachandra, so he had to face this challenge. So what happened was that, when he was, because King Bhagachandra was a devotee from the very beginning. He's the royal families were all devotees of Krishna in Manipur. So he, just the night before the challenge, that in his vision, you know, Krishna came. Not Govinda, it's called Govinda. Govinda came, and so he consoled King that you go there to the arena, don't be afraid, that I'll be there. And so you go, but with a garland in your hand, and so you go, and then everything will be all right. So this message. But then the Lord said, but you have to establish Sisri Radha Govinda's temple, and there you worship, and also you have to do this Ras Lila production. The details are described in the historical note about how it happened, how it came in his vision like that. And so when the time came, so, you know, the king, you know, dressed, you know, like a very nice tilak, and with a dhoti and with a big garland in his with him, and he went to the arena. And the wild elephant came, and so what happened was that when the wild elephant was there, as soon as the king came out, so the elephant, instead of becoming very wild, so rather he knelt his knee, because so that, and he and King Bhagachandra, he saw Krishna sitting on the sitting on the elephant. So when he went and he saw Krishna, he put the garland on Krishna. So in this way, the elephant became completely, let's say, very friendly, subdued, and rather became so, let's say, tame. And so instead of killing the king, but he became very much, say, compassionate. to the king because Govind was there. So in this way, the king of Assam, he felt that now this is definitely the real king, the real king of Manipur. So then, by his help, that his uncle in Manipur, he went back with his army from Assam, from a home, and with Bhagisatra Maharaj, and dropped away that cunning maternal uncle, and he came back as a... Then he ruled Manipur for about over 30 years, about 37, 38 years. The king lived for about 68 years. And so this is the this is the story of Manipur. You see when you visit Manipur, you can see this this elephant and in the middle of the market, and the king has a the murti made of stones. So that way, the rasa dance and these things are very very prominent. And the king actually became a disciple of Narottam Das Thakur. So he was a disciple of Narottam Das Thakur. And so because the king was the follow-up of Gauriya Vaishnava, the whole state became a Vaishnava state in the king's time. And even now, although there are other groups also there, and this Ras Lila, this Ras dance, which is called Manipuri dance, is the classical Manipuri dance. These are all this according to the vision of the king. So this was, you can see that this Manipuri dance, and the Sankirtan, he himself was also, the king was also a drummer. He knew the art of drumming. And in fact, first Ras Lila, he was drumming. And then the songs that sung generally mostly from Narottam Das Thakur's music. And so in this way, let's say, the Vaishnava state has been maintaining until today, although it has been affected by other factors. So we like to, just like our Paramanava was inviting all of you to Vrindavan, so we also wanted to invite all of you to Manipur. I call Manipur Eastern Vrindavan.
But all the Manipurs, they like
Manipur. Yeah. They, Manipurs have a lot of, let's say, Partana in Radhakun. We have right now 27 temples in Radhakun. And in Vrindavan, like in the Kashi Ghats, and then those areas also are kings of Manipur established in temples. But nowadays, you know, because of other factors, but in Radhakun, there are still, these 27 temples are still there. And I have two out of there, I am having two of them. Gopal Mandir and it's Acharya Prabhu's the Mandir is also there, not too far each other in Radhakun. And please visit when you visit to Vrindavan. You can also visit Radhakun. It's like Padmanabha's father said, I will talk about Radhakun. now it is getting a little late, so I will not take too long now. And just like Maharaj spoke about this integration, the cultural integration. So I request that our Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis who are cooking, that I like to see that one German item. What is that? What do you call?
Roisti.
Roisti. But in this roisti, that if you add, let's say, some little, let's say, coriander leaves, then when you fry it, right, with a little like ghee. Or butter. So that if you add a little, let's say, turmeric, because turmeric makes little color looks a little more delicate. And a little very mild spice. Coriander is good from the medicinal point of view also. And for flavoring, a little coriander. And what is it there? What is it? A little bit of oregano. So if this a little bit, put the flavor. That I call it cultural integration. So in this way, we don't have to give up anything, but at least we can integrate, could be part of, similarly there are many other items, but Maharaj gave a nice example. So there will be, I think they are trying to make some one or two Manipuri items, and one or two items from Iran, and one or two items from Germany, from Switzerland, and from all over the planet. And maybe black rice from so it's wonderful to see all the brothers and sisters from here and see and become part of the this all. This actually it is completely completely beyond any sectarian language. It is only the human culture. Because human culture has so many different varieties, and so to adopt and it's something which is only beneficial for the individual. And the Krishna consciousness is, although we look dressed a little separately, but actually outside dress is not so important. But the most important thing is the inner heart, the inner feeling, and the inner purification. And this is beneficial for everyone. Beyond time and space. In science they say time and space. But they say beyond any cultural barrier, there's no barrier. It is only physical or mental platform. But if we try to integrate like that, then it will become part of the existing culture, and that way becomes natural. And so I like to request that please come more often. This is yours, and please don't feel that this Hare Krishna is a different culture, and you have to get your head safe there if you go there, or if you these are all. I mean, it's not necessary. When you, especially when you live in the at home. But in a certain, you know, this cultural integration can take place, and according to the test of the individual, and also by having a little knowledge about what is the scientific and philosophical, let's say, insights into this culture. I think those things, we have these books are available, and so please pick up. And our main book is Bhagavad Gita, as it is, and it is available in different languages, in German and in English, in other languages. And so that way it will also give you a little like the scientific and the philosophical and the principles about this Krishna conscious culture. And so once again, on behalf of all the Maharas and all the devotees here, I'd like to welcome and thank you for coming. And I think Maharaj is in the strawberry, nice slideshow. He was in Manipur around March, and I haven't seen it in the slide, and also I'm anxious to see it, what he has done. Thank you. With that, now please have, this is the prasadam time, right? Is there any other?
Yes, we will now serve prasadam. Wir werden jetzt unser Festmahl an euch alle servieren. And please try to be coming back at 7 o'clock for the Gaura Artik, and then 7:30 sharp means German time. We will start with our slide presentation. Please be there in time, because there will be many people, so that it's sure that you get a good sitting place. Huh? 7 is the Aratik, and 7:30 the slideshow. Good, so we wish you a good appetite, and please use your time while being in the temple nicely. You can look at the book table, you can talk with the devotees about Krishna consciousness, you can meet certainly all of us, and Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Yeah.